ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Tuesday, January 28, 2020. It is 10:38 a.m. and we are on the record. We'll begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Arnold, followed by the pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Weed.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for the opportunity to serve you and mankind. Lord, help us stay strong during these trying times. Keep us focused and thankful for all the positive things that you have provided for us. Dear Lord, be with all of those who are affected by this new virus strain that's spreading across different parts of our world. We hope that you will help us in finding a quick and solution so it does not get any worse. Dear Lord, we ask that you give this government body the wisdom to make the right decisions that will benefit the majority of our folks. All these things we ask in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go meet the side of the nation's flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Today out of order, item A of the Management Information System to consider and possibly adopt the resolution recognizing David Dominguez, 25 years of dedicated service to the Jefferson County MIS Department and to the citizens of Jefferson County and wishing him well in his retirement. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Arnold and Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. And David, you'll come up to the podium. We've got a resolution that reads, whereas David Dominguez, beginning as a computer operator in the then data processing department, has dedicated 25 years of his life in service of Jefferson County and its citizens. And David has shown the dedication and resolve required to advance from computer operator to PC technician in the current Management Information Systems Department. He has proven himself to be a major asset for his daily functions throughout the county. And David has always proven himself to be a dependable, successful, and trusted employee who, through hard work and commitment to excellence, has earned the respect of his colleagues and the citizens of Jefferson County. David has made a significant contribution to all county offices, as he is recognized for his unselfish devotion to the daily needs of all county employees. And whereas David will be truly missed by his friends and co-workers, therefore be it resolved that the Commissioners Court of Jefferson County does hereby honor and commend David for his dedicated service as an employee of Jefferson County, congratulates on him on his retirement, and wishes you all the very best.
Thank you, Judge. Commissioners, thank you very much. I'd like to thank everybody, my family, my wife, my brother, my sister, and so thank you for being here. All my co-workers, supervisors, my boss. It's been a privilege to be here. Not that many people get to work for the county, so that's good.
We've done a wonderful job. MIS departments are always different. You're one of the few extroverts in the department.
Well, if you're not laughing, you're not living. But it's funny because you make a choice. You make a choice to be in a good mood or in a bad mood. So I try to be in a good mood because I got to be here now. And as of Friday, then if I come back, it's because I want to, not because I have to. Now I have to make a living. And it's funny how attitude changes as time goes on, but it's been a real privilege, and I got to see all the changes from all the windows, from Windows beginning to 95 to now. And this time, you know, it's like I like to say, it's like your car. When you lock your door and you walk away, you always look back, and then you don't look at your car. It's time to get another. And I don't want this to be like this for my job. I'm enjoying it, and it's time, so I don't stay here too long and not enjoy the benefits of being retired.
We wish double vest, and we have a flag that the form of the courthouse. Your proclamation will be framed and provided. Next, also out of order, item C, under county commissioners, consider possibly approved proclamation for the Greater Beaumont Chamber of Commerce Salute to Texas Workforce Week. Do I have a motion on that?
So moved.
Second by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioners Weaver and Alford. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Bill, you and your representatives of workforce would come forward. I'll read this from Maryland. You're gonna come up and sit down back here. The proclamation reads, whereas a salute to Southeast Texas Workforce Week is an awareness initiative to inform the public about workforce training and educational opportunities available with the ultimate goal of preparing area youth for nationally recognized educational options and developing community members for fulfilling careers and helping them compete for high wage employment opportunities in Southeast Texas. Whereas due to $54 billion worth of potential expansion projects in Southeast Texas, demand for a properly skilled workforce continues to increase. And whereas on February 1st, Beaumont Independent School District is hosting their inaugural Community College Career and Military Readiness Fair at Westbrook High School from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And students, parents, and community members will learn about colleges, career exploration, BISD career and technical education programs, military enlistment opportunities, and workforce development and employment opportunities. And whereas on February 4th, ExxonMobil will host a job career informational fair for residents of the Charleston, Pollard, South Park neighborhoods. And whereas on February 6th, Workforce Solutions Southeast Texas is hosting their fifth annual Youth Career Expo, Connect to Your Future, at Ford Park for an estimated 4,000 students. Event partner organizations include Region 5 Education Service Center, Junior Achievement, Southeast Texas Human Resources Association, and Vocational Rehabilitation Services. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commissioners Court of Jefferson County is hereby proclaiming February 1st through 7th as a salute to Southeast Texas Workforce Week, and we also urge the community to take advantage of help spread the word about the incredible workforce opportunities available in Southeast Texas, signed by all members of the Commissioner's Court. Bill, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Judge. Commissioners, we certainly appreciate your recognition of this important action that we are getting ready to kick off. Obviously, with all the information that you read, Judge, the $54 billion projects that are in place, it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we have workforce to deal with that now and well into the future. Our partnership with you all, our industry partners, our education and training organizations is critical for us to be able to do this long term in order to make sure Jefferson County remains at the forefront of industry as we continue to grow. Without our workforce being very good and established, we run the risk of not letting that happen, and we're not going to let that happen. So, again, thank you very much for your recognition.
Well, thank y'all for the work that you're doing to prepare our workforce. There are going to be a lot of opportunities during the next many years, but those are meaningless without a well-trained workforce. So we certainly appreciate your work.
Right, not only that, Judge, but I just want to give a shout out to Maryland and you and your crew that came in after Harvey and provided workforce, you know, free to the taxpayers that did services that we needed done right then that was related to the storm and disaster. And you've done that, I think, after Ike and after Rita. I came in on Harvey, and I mean, that some of the people that you sent out and trained. You know, I would like to hire, just didn't have the openings to do so. But thank you for that also, always being there in a time of disaster.
I would ditto that. I did hire a couple of them, and I really appreciate that.
He has a big
more important than that, the $54 billion and our youth and in the school district, getting those young people prepared for opportunities to stay here, raise families here, and be a part of this economy here in Southeast Texas, Jefferson County. It's a very important bill, and ExxonMobil, you know, you guys, I appreciate everything you do. And Maryland, without a doubt, without you and workforce, we would be in trouble. So we want to make sure we thank you for what you're doing and thinking about the future of our at $54 billion that members of this court and this community have put hard work to get here. So we really want to thank you for that.
Additional cost over the cost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to use what we're
You're using the credits.
Things that were in the contract that we're not going to end up doing.
And no issues with the contract itself.
We'll probably need to, we might need to come with some minor amendment just to outline that scope, but I just want to get the approval first and get going in that direction.
Did Johnson Control wash that contract totally, because those credits that we had on the plumbing side, that came after the fact. Do we have any other credits, anything else in that contract?
Well, they haven't finished the entire project. So, I mean, you still have, I don't know, 12 more months on this deal, or I don't know how many.
3 or 4 months, yeah.
Yeah, to go on the entire project. So I don't know if there's anything that would come out of the air conditioning side.
And for clarification, to address the Ford Park Pavilion lighting option 2, that's being eliminated, is that correct?
Well, that's not being considered because of the 22-year payback, because of the limit.
So that's what I'm saying, it's not to be considered.
Yeah, right, yeah.
We're not doing that.
No, and that was eliminated in the first round.
So the contract applied with this, I just want to make sure.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
So the contract's basically staying the same amount, or what? No, there's no additional money that has to be added.
Correct. Well, there could be some that comes off, because we're only, you still have approximately $18,899 of credits. So we'll probably, if we don't utilize it somewhere else, we'll
take it. Have you been able to look at this? Okay.
Any other objection? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Commissioners, item A is to receive, file, and execute a memorandum of understanding for Texas Community Development Block and Disaster Recovery Program. ER 4332, Taylor Landing. Item B is to discuss possibly take action on the revision of out-of-state travel policies. I'll talk about that as well. Item D, we've already done C. Item D is to receive and file executed amendment to the abatement agreement for property located in Port Arthur LNG Reinvestment Zone. Item E is considered possibly approved certification of loan government property, the MK16 Mod 7 torpedo on display at the Veterans Memorial Park. Pursuant to the agreement with the United States Naval Undersea Museum. And item F is to consider and possibly accept and receive and file the 2019 Commissioner of Continuing Education Transportation Trust for Commissioner Michael S. Senegal, pursuant to Article 81.0025 of the Texas Local Government Code for completion of continuing education requirements. And via addendum, item G is to consider and possibly approve out-of-state travel for Leslie Gregorian, family nurse practitioner, to attend training at the AANP conference in New Orleans, June 22nd through 28th, 2020. Motion on those items of the County Commission.
Judge, can we hold on this B and just discuss it separate?
Yeah, I just want to need a motion and a second before
second.
I can discuss it.
Okay.
And seconded. The item B was the suggestion that Patrick and I had spoken about it, because it's written several times, is to, you know, we have Austin, Dallas, San Antonio, New Orleans, and Baton Rouge, where they have continuing education events for our employees and some of the elected officials. And the suggestion was that maybe to avoid having to come in here, because basically the same travel, it's a little bit shorter travel distance to Baton Rouge and New Orleans than it is to Dallas and San Antonio. Just to remove Louisiana as being considered another state, so that we don't have to bring this into Commissioner's Court every time somebody has an event over there, a continuing education event over there.
And along with that, Judge, not only event and training, but also we were having to come with people had to go pick things up.
Right.
And one of the federal surplus sites is in Louisiana, and that's kind of some of the catalyst on this was to, if items come up that you could go pick up, you know, there might be a limited window to go get it, and if you have to wait for Commissioner's Court approval, you might miss out on it. And that's, you know, I think some of y'all might have actually experienced having to go get supplies in Louisiana, so this kind of avoids that problem. Having to ratify that out-of-state travel.
I have no problem with that, but Judge, I do want to make sure we put this out-of-state in for a reason. If it didn't get out of hand where people just taking those let's make sure this court is updated, because if you remember back when, why it was put in.
Right. Any trips to Hawaii, you can make sure we get those up.
So it's been proposed that we eliminate Louisiana from the out-of-state travel requirements. Do I have a motion on that?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Sullivan, second by Commissioner Sinegal. So on this item and the other items, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, have it. Moving on to engineering. Item A is to consider and properly approve a minor plat of subdivision of 3.72 acre tract of the William Forest Survey, abstract number 102, Jefferson County, Texas, located off LaBelle Road, precinct number 2, is within the Beaumont ETJ. It met Jefferson County federal requirements except for minimum lot frontage. And the addendum item B is consider and possibly approve the amended final plat of the Cove Taylor Landing lots 1 to 47, phase 2, being a 15.966 acre subdivision at the 159.023 acre A. Hotchkiss Lee, abstract number 31, Jefferson County, located off Country Club Drive and Elizabeth Drive. It's in precinct 2, it's in the Fort Arthur ETJ, and met all the Jefferson County and City of Fort Arthur planning and engineering requirements. So motion on both items under engineering.
Move.
Moved by Commissioner Weaver.
Second, Judge.
Second by Commissioner Sinegal, and I guess we're going to want to discuss item A because of the email that the county engineer sent out and the letter from Mr. Faust at Faust Engineering.
Yeah, Judge, I wanted to see, Steve called me about this, and you've reviewed the subdivision rules and regs on the variances in section
6.5.
6.5.
Yes.
And you've had some discussions. Could you bring, I haven't been brought up to that yet on discussions with them, if you could bring the court into that?
Well, we have two different frontage requirements, one for roads inside subdivisions, which is a 60-foot frontage, and one for roads that are properties that face a road that performs more of an arterial function, gets people from point A to point B, not inside a subdivision. And LaBelle Road is one of those roads. So on those types, we require 150 foot of frontage, but also have spelled out in the document that it's if the developer can submit a letter stating that they feel like all the safety concerns of the city of the county have been met, that the county could go ahead and approve something less than 150 feet at the commissioner's court discretion.
That wording is in our subdivision rules and regs?
It is.
And I heard something about 86 had dug a drainage ditch or something.
Yes, 70.
Which caused some of this. Explain that.
And I believe that's in Mr. Faust's letter. The property was originally over 200 feet wide, and Drainage District 6 had purchased 70 feet of it. And I think right now there's 160, 170 feet left of that of that frontage. And
you went out there and looked at all this?
I've seen it. Yes, sir. I've seen all this. So what the Mr. Faust's letter pretty much states is that with the separation they have out there, all the lots are pretty large. There's not a dense, there's not a lot of driveways compacted and, you know, densely in a certain area. And he felt like allowing for a separate driveway on this property would not be a safety issue. And I don't think it would be a safety issue either.
If we have any safety issues to come up, Mr. Faust wouldn't pay any losses, right?
Or based on what our engineering policy say?
Mm-hmm. Because basically, he's basically saying, give that option. I went back and checked. He gives that option. But my thing is, I want to make sure we don't have any problems. And we are giving the okay to.
I would make very sure that what's out there is what he's saying before the commissioner's court approves that.
Okay.
Right. So I did state in an email to, I think, each of y'all last week that the rest of the properties out in this area is just north of FM 365. All the properties out there have 160 or greater frontage right now. So this one being subdivided is not a big deal, but if every one of them starts to subdivide, then you're going to have a lot of driveways. in a small area, but I don't see that being a trend. It could be.
Well, that's my concern as we move forward. Is this going to cause a problem in other precincts? Is it going to cause a problem with other
right.
people who want to flat? I'm not really worried about legal liability. It's a planning something. We're not normally responsible. Number one, that's a state road. Number two, we're only responsible for special defects under the Tort Claims Act. So I view that as a non-issue. But the question is, are we going to be inundated with people who want to avoid what our typical requirements are?
That's a good question.
This is more like going in for a variant to the zoning board.
Right.
What it is.
This is the first time we've brought this to your attention, you know, that we've had an issue like this. There's a second one in the wings right now, just waiting. So this isn't the only one you'll see. There will be more coming, I'm sure.
Judge, in the regulations and in the code that came from TAC, which does training on it, TAC and all associations are not in favor of doing those second options. They're saying stay strong to the original options.
Well, I'll be happy to table this to give the commissioners court time to consider it more fully and take into account the second request.
Yes, sir.
I agree with the table, and Steve, make sure you, that thing that I went check, make sure you go check that.
Yes, sir.
They did have a writing on it.
Steve, they had what now?
There's a writing, an opinion from TAC okay. and several other groups.
Yeah, and also the DD6 situation and what impact that had on this to make this kind of come up, surface up.
Yes, sir.
DD6 paid for that 70-foot wide track?
I'm not sure if they paid for it or if it was donated, but it was transferred to the drainage district,
It says original track drainage district purpose for a larger ditch, which was constructed in a 70-foot wide track.
Right.
This resulted in a decrease of the availability of frontage on the LaBelle Road side.
Right.
But the thing about that is, there's nothing we can do about that, especially if they were paid for.
Steve's question.
Yes, sir.
Looking at the survey of flat map, Bill Spurrier's house, it didn't blow it up, so I'm having a little bit of trouble seeing it. But if I understand correctly, about 172-foot frontage exists, and they're splitting one side with 104 and the other side with 68.73.
Yes, sir.
So where is the driveway actually going to be? Is there going to be a driveway on both parcels?
There is a current driveway. It's going to still serve one of the parcels, and they will add a new driveway over by the drainage district property.
Right.
So that's on the 68-foot front piece.
Yes, sir.
And the driveway on the drainage district property is for their use. Is that correct? Is that access?
They're going to add a driveway on what is going to be lot two.
Yeah,
the drainage district, I'm sure, has their own access. I don't know if we consider it a driveway or officially, but they have access to their levee.
I agree with tabling this so we can get some additional information.
Yes, we'll table item A, item B. All in favor say aye.
I have one additional question. Pretty much how many, why was that amendment or whatever it's called in our ordinance put in there?
I don't know. That this ordinance was developed long before I came here. I'm not sure why that was put in there, but it wasn't spelled out as a variance process. But as soon as it describes, here's the minimum, it says, although the commissioner's court has the option to reduce this if they see fit. So it is odd that it's in there. If 150 is not the standard, then what is, or why would you reduce it?
It was in the transportation code, 251, Texas Transportation Code.
Oh, okay.
That's where I went back, and the state law, that's where I went back and went to some trainings we had, some information that came from TAC, and they have a write-up on it.
Okay.
Right. And it pretty much gives the commissioner's court the right to override that.
Yes.
That's why I asked a question about the potential for suits, because it doesn't address that. So,
So Kathleen, your question, you were saying something to the fact that engineering, we need something from that engineer?
Well, I don't know anything about, we're talking about I domain.
Yes.
I don't know, I've not seen the plat or anything, so I mean, I don't know if what they're doing is going to cause drainage problems.
Steve, let's make sure that we get, if you can have a meeting with Kathleen, kind of bring her up.
Sure.
Since this item is being tabled, bring her up on the issue and how it relates to the amendment and the subdivision rules.
Yes, sir.
Next, under Human Resources, I may ask consider possible approval of appointment of Jeffrey Ross, Director of MIS, Daniel Salary, to be the term.
So moved. Second.
Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion?
Judge, I got a question. I noticed this, I was out sick during the time, but Steve, when the court voted on Steve, the annual salary, what put in that care?
I
don't recall that ever being done before in my years of being here. We normally have everything on the table right after we make a decision.
I've got it. We just didn't have it at the time of the, I've got it. It's 110.015.
Is that in line with the
yes, that's
policies
in,
of the county?
That's in keeping
and
with
we did Steve's, because it
yes.
never came back before the court.
It is in keeping with our policy.
What is that?
I don't have it right in front of me, but I get it.
You need to get
I'll
it to
get
the
it
commission, because I never seen it.
I'm sorry, I'll get it to you, Commissioner.
Thank you. All right, any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Any opposed?
Yes. Abstain.
Two. Congratulations. Yep.
Under Management Information Systems, item A is considering possibly adopting the proposal. We already did that. Item B, addendum. Item B is considering possibly approving Texas Association of the County Cybersecurity Court for all Jefferson County employees under new state law, Government Code 2054.5191, effective June 14, 2019. All local government employees and elected officials. So they have access to a local government computer system or database unless completed cybersecurity training program certified by the Texas Department of Information Resources at least annually. In response to the cybersecurity training mandate and furtherance of our continued commitment to our county family, TAC is offering free cybersecurity courses that have been certified by the EIR and fulfills the requirements of the new law. Motion on that.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion?
No discussion, but that is something that's very important from TAC. I'm on that committee, on that education committee that they pushed for that because of all that's going on in the state. That's very, very important. I don't know what our locally, what we have in place right now. We probably need to get an update on that.
So I've taken the course.
I've taken it, but they're not. Here's the thing. There's some, Jeff, you want to step up? What I've learned in my office, everybody's been assigned an email. I've had them go through the training.
Right.
But what I found out from TAC is the information that TAC put out originally was not certified
right.
to meet
that's
the state one. Law.
That's
so now we've got to go back through it all over again. Jeff?
Yeah, all the emails that I had sent out when I first saw TAC, was doing it for us, I sent it all out to say, here, this is in support for the House bill. And I found out from them, it really isn't dealing with the House bill at all. That's what this is going to do. It's going to allow me, it's going to allow us to sign up for them to get the one, it's a 45 minute course
right.
that'll bring us into compliance with the House bill. That's
okay. You going to send out that thing to everybody?
Yeah, once we get this approved, then I'll get all the email addresses in there, and your email address will send it. Send the link to you, basically. And everybody will have, you have until June to get certified for the House bill.
Also, Kerry, we had an update on our insurance last week, and it was stated that up to a certain amount we're covered. Is that a requirement by the insurance that we do what he said? Every employee that has a what?
Which requirements?
To my knowledge, Commissioner, I don't recall anything in that policy saying our employees would have to be certified. This certification is completely different. But it was certainly, we could let the insurance know that we have done this, and I think that would, help us in the future going forward. So it's a great idea.
Thank you.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Under risk management, item A is consider possibly approve commercial property insurance renewal with Westchester effective February 1st, 2020, for an annual premium of $1,290,814.57. Item B is consider possibly approve boiler and machinery insurance renewal with Hartford Steam Boiler effective February 1st, 2020, for an annual premium of $20,615. Item C is consider possibly approve cyber liability insurance renewal with Ace American Insurance Company effective February 1st, 2020, for an annual premium of $18,330. Item D is consider and approve a government crime insurance renewal with Great American Insurance Company effective February 1st, 2020, annual premium $4,947. Item E is consider approve excess workers' compensation insurance with Colony Insurance Company effective February 1st, 2020, an annual premium of $179,344. Do I have a motion on those items under risk management?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal, seconded by Commissioner Offer. Any discussion?
None. It was just very important that we have insurance, and it's very expensive.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under Sheriff's Department, item A is consider possibly approve a resolution recognizing Rodney Nobles for 20 years and 2 months of service to citizens of Jefferson County and wishing him well with retirement. Item B is approving a resolution recognizing Mark W. Bryant for 26 years and 2 months of dedicated service to Jefferson County Sheriff's Office to citizens of Jefferson County and wishing him well in his retirement. Do I have a motion on those two items?
So moved.
Second. By Commissioner Offit, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That completes our regular agenda. Is there anything any commissioners wish to bring to the attention of the public about our taking action?
Let me bring something up, and then Steve, you probably need to chime in on this end so we can correct any misinformation that's out there.
Yes, sir.
And Patrick, we may need you in this on this. Last night I seen a report on the news that basically said, Judge, you may, because I think we talked about this, explain some things in reference to it that said that we wasn't applying for funding that would help individuals, well, these individuals from our precinct. But today, this morning, I've heard others from all throughout the rural area having the same problem. And I sent you an email that was asking about flood mitigation funding.
Yes, sir.
It's basically said, I think the water board stated that we wasn't applying for any funding. It's the information that was given out. The individuals that was on television last night, I feel for them. They living in their garage. And each of us up here, I'm sure, feel for them. Because I'm sure all of us have some individuals from this flood that's doing the same thing, and this is the last two floods. Can you give us any information on it, or Judge, do you want to kind of give us any information on
it? I don't know about county engineer involved.
Okay.
I'll have to hear that from him. But basically, about a month or 6 weeks after Harvey, I, along with the emergency management department, met in China with the China mayor and the Texas Water Development Board, and they gave us all the documents of what was available as far as assistance from them. None of that information included any information about grant programs for elevation of homes. Subsequently, I've gone back and checked all of my emails from the Texas Water Development Board, and there's no information in there about eligible funding for elevation of homes. I knew that there's going to be some hazard mitigation on building resilient infrastructure and communities money and some mitigation monies from the state through the CDBG program for elevation. And I've got meetings next Monday and have met with Widow Bryan and got a meeting with another company next Monday. At some point, the court's going to have to select a grant administrator or someone to, once the state action plan is approved by the federal government, to apply for that funding for elevation. Gentleman called me last week that was on the news, asked about the Water Development Board program. I told him I didn't know anything about it. Called the Water Development Board. Turns out they do have a program for elevation of homes, which apparently hasn't been well advertised.
application deadline, and the application takes about 4 to 6 months to prepare for technical assistance. Deadline is this Friday, January 31st, so we're going to have to wait until June to start our technical assistance for the next round of funding. But in the interim, we're going to hire a grant administrator to go after the other 3 sources of funding for elevation programs, and that's always been the plan.
Okay. I want to make sure.
I don't know what his discussions were.
Okay. No, I was just wanting to make sure we got the appropriate information.
Steve? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I did not get information about the grant program that that the individual on the news was talking about. He has talked with me. We've talked over the phone, and he let me know the same thing the judge was talking about. And I called the lady with Texas Water Development Board, and she told me the same issue. I was just not aware of that was available. I knew there was some money available through GLO that was coming up, and I told him I'd be looking into that. I think it's much better, though, having a grant administrator look into it, because they know the ins and outs of how to apply for it.
And furthermore, at every conference we've been to, I go around and talk to the Widow Bride and all the grant administrators that do work nationally. None of them do anything about this pot of money.
Well, I think it's good, too, because Steve's got a full plate, you know, running the department. Then if you got somebody that can really be hunting this stuff and being involved in the application process, I think that's a good thing.
I have no problem. I just want to make sure that we, you know, get our word out and make sure that people understand we are working to acquire funding. It's not a true statement that we are not applying for funding. I want to make sure that we get that out.
We are working, but as in every disaster, you well know that there are long periods between the disaster and the time that the funding actually becomes available. On another note, I put before y'all these documents, one from Drainage District 6, one from Vivian Blue on behalf of the City of Fort Arthur. I got an email in the middle of last week from Drainage District 6, Doug Canant to Vivian. Y'all recall that originally we allocated a little over $5.9 million of our Harvey CDBG disaster recovery funding for drainage projects to DD6. The email said that DD6 didn't need $3.4 million of the funding because it's CDBG, and they got some money from the Texas Water Development Board, which is going to work as their match, and they wanted to send back $3.4 million. Vivian wrote back and said, I've spoken to GLO, and they will not allow us to use that $3.4 million. Just going to have to send it back to the states. And I called GLO and had some conversations with them, and they said, okay, we will allow you to come up with new projects and utilize that $3.4 million, because I was upset at first that we were going to lose $3.4 million. But I felt better after the call with GLO. I spoke to the boss of the person who spoke to Vivian. These two projects, this is what DD6 has proposed as projects for the $3 million. This is what Port Arthur wants to put in. I've invited DD7 also to send some proposals, which they say their engineers say we will have by Wednesday. And I tried without success to get through DD3 out in Hampshire to ask them to submit projects, because what's going to happen is all these proposed projects are going to have to come to the commissioner's court to decide which ones you like the best, so that we can direct our grant administrators as to which ones to put in. But applications for, it's going to have to be done relatively quickly. They want us to get on the applications fast. And so this is for y'all to look at. And I'll get you copies of DD7s. And if I'm successful in finally getting through to DD3,
Mr. Folsom out there did not have a voicemail set up. There's no answer at his home, no answer at the office, so.
Judge, would it be appropriate, since the court will have to make some decisions on these things, to have a workshop where we can have DD7, DD6, kind of everybody, and that way we're kind of getting all the information at once, and they're all in the room at the same time, you know?
That's very important, because not only that, having them in the room at the same time and making sure that we get some, make sure that the projects benefit the whole, because, you know, we don't want to work against each other, okay?
It's not, like, this Port Arthur project is an erosion protection project. I'm probably going to look more favorably on flood control projects, but that's going to be an issue for the court to decide after the workshop. And that's exactly what we did after ICE, was have a workshop.
Exactly. Right, also, Judge, for DD3, if they don't respond, most of the issues that they're having in DD3 are impacting my precinct. Can we apply on behalf of DD3 for us?
Well, I got to know what the project is.
Well, I get the projects. I know what
they are. You can get the
project. Yeah, they're in DD3's ditches, you know, for us. So I'll get the projects, but I mean, how do I, and because it's DD3's responsibility, even though it impacts my drainage system, would I need something? We would have to get something from DD3, even if they don't participate in the workshop, is what I'm saying.
You have a project out there that qualifies, you can talk to John Johnson's side.
Yeah.
Judge, the other projects that we approved, last year, for DD6 with the other money that had been allocated, this doesn't impact that?
No, they're going forward with the project, just using Water Development Board money for their match.
Yeah.
And so those, all four other projects are going, and the remaining $2.5 million out of 5.9 that they're using for the widening of the Taylor's Valley Bridge.
Judge, in this one point, that Water Development Board funding, we're going to have our engineering department working with them. We're going to have to. As I go back and think about East Texas and how they do it, we're going to have some advantage.
All right, anything further? Not that we are adjourned, and would y'all like to take a break?
Yes.
We'll take a 5-minute break.